Welcome to Food for Thought, the place to explore, celebrate, and manifest a life motivated and defined by unconditional compassion and optimal wellness. My name is Colleen Patrick-Goudreau, and I'm your host. Hi, everyone. I wanted to share with you another episode of my new podcast, Animology Podcast, which is a podcast about the animal-related words and phrases we use every day and how they reflect and affect our relationship with animals. I have launched this podcast, and to ease you in, I am sharing some of the content with you here on Food for Thought. But what I really need you to do is go over to iTunes, go over to Stitcher, wherever you listen to podcasts, and subscribe to Animology right now. Download those episodes. Even if you listen to this episode right here on Food for Thought podcast, I would be so grateful if you could go download it over at Animology Podcast. It's the best way we can get traction for this new podcast, which I believe will be a game changer for animals. So thank you so much for helping me change the way the world talks about, thinks about, and treats non-human animals. Welcome to Animology, a podcast about language, the animal-related words and expressions we use every day, and how they affect and reflect our relationship with animals. I'm Colleen Patrick-Goudreau. Today's episode is Eating Crows and Humble Pie. Try dirt instead. In this episode, we'll uncover the dirty little secret underneath the pastry dough in To Eat Humble Pie and demonstrate why you might want to eat dirt instead of crows. My name is Colleen Patrick-Goudreau, lover of words, lover of animals, and you know what that makes me. As always, you can find out more about my work, my books, my Food for Thought podcast, of which there are over a decade of episodes, at ColleenPatrickGoudreau.com, or you can go straight to AnimologyPodcast.com to leave your comments and questions. And please leave a review on iTunes. It's really one of the best ways you can help others find Animology. If you've made a serious faux pas and need to acknowledge it with humility, while you're also probably feeling humiliated, you might be said to be eating crow or eating humble pie, both phrases of which involve animals, both of which are animologies. The former expression, eating crow or to eat crow, seems to be of American derivation, while the latter, eating humble pie or to eat humble pie, has British origins. We have documentation of the use of both expressions to mean submissively and often publicly admitting a mistake from the 19th century, but humble pie, or more accurately, humble pie, goes back much further than that, to 1648, to be precise. Now, the word humble, as an adjective meaning marked by meekness or modesty in behavior and attitude, not arrogant or prideful, and showing deferential or submissive respect as in a humble apology, is from Middle English, going back to the 13th century. It appears in print for the first time in 1250. It comes to English by way of the old French word humble, which itself is derived from Latin humilis, meaning lowly, small, slight, or insignificant, literally from the ground, related to the word humus, referring to soil, of the ground, of the earth. And even though it would seem obvious that the expression eating humble pie would be directly related to that meaning in history of the word humble, the story is a little more complicated than that. And that's because the French word humble, sometimes spelled in French without the H and to mean modest, was also the occasional spelling of the also French word humbles, which referred to the innards of a deer, the liver, the heart, and the entrails. That French word came into English as humbles. Basically, humbles is an archaic word to describe what we would call offal today. Offal, O-F-F-A-L, is what's left after an animal has been slaughtered and butchered. Offal is basically the internal parts such as the heart, the liver, and the tongue. It's slaughterhouse waste. It's a compound word built simply from the words off and fall, referring to the parts of an animal that would fall off the butcher's block after she's been eviscerated and cut up into parts for people to eat, parts like the loin. So humbles is just an archaic word for offal, referring to eviscerated body parts such as the loin. And that word loin is directly connected to the word humbles. Both the French word humbles and the English word humbles come from the Latin word lumbus, meaning loin, which typically refers to that part of an animal body, including our own animal bodies, that's situated in the part of the back and sides between the lowest ribs and the pelvis. You're probably familiar with other words built from lumbus, such as lumbar, as in a lumbar pillow that supports the back, and lumbago, a very painful condition of the lower back, usually as the result of muscle strain or a slipped disc. So the words loin, lumbar, lumbago, and humbles are all cognate. They're all cousins based on the Latin word lumbus. And that brings us full circle back to the word humble, as in humble pie. In the British days of yore, it was common to serve pies made of the viscera and organs of animals. As diarist Samuel Pepys tells us in his diary entry for July 8, 1663, the first written evidence of this pie, the first written mention of this pie, Mrs. Turner, he writes, came in and did bring us an humble pie hot out of the oven. Now, he didn't mean this in the figurative sense. He meant it literally. Mrs. Turner served pie made of humbles. In other words, humble pie, humble pie, humble pie, humble, 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 right? Humbles from lumbus, meaning loin, humble from humilis, meaning of the earth. And you can hear how close they are. Humble pie, humble pie, humble, humble, because of the closeness of the sound of these two words, both borrowed from French. But the expression to eat humble pie, as we know it today, to abjectly admit wrongdoing and feel the humiliation of it, didn't appear until the 19th century. The first recording of it in print is from English philologist Robert Forby, who wrote in his book, The Vocabulary of East Anglia, in 1830, to make one eat humble pie, i.e. to make him lower his tone and be submissive. It may possibly be derived from the humbles of the deer, which were the perquisite, this is his word, of the huntsman. And if so, it should be written humble pie, the food of inferiors. So he's documenting this expression that he's heard. Obviously, when something appears in print for the first time, it's already been in the spoken vernacular. So he's trying to explain what the origins of this expression might be. Now, he mentions the food of inferiors because, as the story goes, the story that he's perpetuating, humbles, and thus humble pie, would have been eaten by servants or fed to animals. In other words, humble pie wasn't a dish served to the aristocracy. It would have been eaten by the lowly folk, the inferiors. And from that notion, he inferred that the expression to eat humble pie came to mean to eat something that was considered lowly and humble, i.e. to act lowly and deferential as if you're eating low food. Honestly, I'm not convinced. I think it's a bit of folk etymology to explain the connection between the word humble, meaning modest, and the humbles or the innards people were eating as if people in the lower class were the only ones eating such things. That's not necessarily the case. Today, we may turn up our noses at the notion of eating intestines and hearts and livers. I know I do, but that's only a cultural bias of our time. There's no difference between eating the entrails of an animal and eating the leg of an animal. And there's no evidence that humble pie was served only to servants or the quote-unquote lower classes. Medieval cookery books, which cater to the middle classes, have recipes for humble pie. And as we can see by Pepys' entry, he was served humble pie and he was a member of Parliament. All that's to say, I think the explanation is simply that the words sounded similar. And over time, the meaning of humble to mean lowly or modest came to influence the meaning of the 19th century idiom to eat humble pie. The colorful expression of eating something that's considered lowly to indicate humiliation is not uncommon, as we'll see again in a moment. So I guess I'm kind of saying that I don't think the expression to eat humble pie is really a reference to the pies made with animals. I don't eat animals, and I eat humble pie all the time. One more word to mention related to our discussion of humbles and offal is the word lights, L-I-G-H-T-S, a term from before 1200 that meant the lungs, literally in reference to the lightness in terms of weight of these organs. It was used to refer to human lungs, no doubt, but its use was also common in referring to the lungs of animals killed for human consumption. For instance, lights or lungs are used in the Scottish dish haggis, though my husband and I thoroughly enjoyed vegan haggis on a recent trip to Scotland. You can have vegan haggis in Scotland. But other than in that context, it would appear that that meaning of the word lights to mean lungs has pretty much disappeared. Or has it? Have you ever used variations of the phrase to knock someone's lights out or to punch someone's lights out? Not that you would punch anyone's lights out, but you've heard that phrase, or to scare the lights out of someone. Lights in these expressions may refer to the old meaning of the word. The implication is that you've done something so forcibly or passionately, like hugging the lights out of someone, that you've literally taken the air out of their lungs. So today we don't think of animals' lungs or hearts or chewing up body parts when we think of eating humble pie or punching someone's lights out. But unfortunately, we do see that rather explicitly in the expression to eat crow. I'm eating neither humbles nor crows right now at this moment, and I'm never gonna, but I am humbly grateful for my supporters. As you know, Animology is brought to you by the listeners of this podcast, many of whom are at animologypodcast.com under podcast supporters, under the podcast tab menu. And you can add your name to the list of pretty awesome people such as David Cabrera and Alexander Gray, Gwen Mayo, Michal Stone, Jennifer and Ben Ellis, Tim Anderson, Ulrich, Renee Marinkovich, Sylvie Raquel, and Peter Liu, and we have some pretty fantastic supporters in Michael McNeely and Tammy Robertson, who both recently increased their monthly support to $30 a month. Thank you both so much. By signing up at patreon.com/ColleenPatrickGaudreau, listener supporters know they're making this podcast possible, and they also get additional perks like transcripts to each and every episode, bonus material, bonus podcasts, and more. Check out the different levels and choose your favorite at patreon.com/ColleenPatrickGaudreau. Thank you for valuing this podcast. I value you in return. Now, to eat crow means the same thing as to eat humble pie, but whereas eat humble pie is a British-derived expression, eat crow is American through and through. To eat crow is to be forced to do or say something that's unpleasant, and it's that idea that may be why crows were the chosen animal. It's not, after all, to eat cat, though it may as well be. Carnivorous animals are not the animals humans consume, for those who consume animals at all. Humans eat herbivorous animals: cattle, goats, chickens, turkeys, geese, deer, even horses. Pigs are omnivorous animals, to be sure, and one of the reasons the consumption of pigs is spurned by certain groups, religious and otherwise, is for that very reason, because we're disgusted by what they eat, and so in turn, we're disgusted eating them. Still, that doesn't seem to be working out so well for them. Over 115 million pigs are brought into this world only to be killed every year in the United States alone. Would that we were more disgusted. But you see, it's that line of thinking that does stop many animals from being eaten at all. And crows, being carnivorous and scavengers, they're carnivores and scavengers, they're considered unappetizing to eat. Like pigs, they're listed in Leviticus as being one of the animals unfit for human consumption. Though many animals on that list, in addition to pigs, are indeed consumed by humans on a regular basis. So by the same token, it's not like Leviticus has reduced the consumption of these animals. The idea that crows are unappetizing to eat, or hard to swallow, as it were, leads us to the notion that to eat crow is to do something that's unpleasant or hard to do, essentially hard to swallow. The first written documentation of the expression goes back only as far as 1850, so just 20 years after to eat humble pie, and it may have originally been to eat boiled crow. Despite the fact that crows and ravens are now considered to be among the world's most intelligent animals. They really do get such a bad rap, linguistically and literally, and we will be coming back to them again and again in Animology as they factor into our language more than you can possibly imagine. Now, of course, there are ways to say the same thing, ways to convey meaning in a colorful way without eating crows. And even though language isn't prescriptive, I do think language matters. It reflects and affects who we are, what our values are, and what we believe in. And so in that context, in the spirit of providing other creative ways of saying the same thing, using idioms we already have without disparaging anyone, of course we have to eat dirt, and somewhat relatedly, to eat your words. And as I've already declared, I am comfortable with to eat humble pie, because A, most people have no idea that there was such a thing as humble pie made from animal innards. And B, I'm not at all convinced that to eat humble pie came from the idea that lowly folk would eat the lowly food. Just doesn't cut it for me. So to eat crow, not a fan. To eat humble pie works for me. But as I said, we also have to eat dirt, which has the same meaning as to eat humble pie and to eat crow, and was also first documented in the 1850s, 1857 to be exact, in the United Kingdom. But the oldest of them all, possibly the mother of them all, appears to be the expression to eat one's words, which first appears in print in 1571, attributed to John Calvin, the theologian and pastor after whom Calvinism is named. There's also to eat your hat, which has a bit of a different meaning, expressing one's absolute confidence in a particular outcome. If that candidate doesn't win the election, I'll eat my hat. It dates from 1836, a lot of comestibles in the 1800s, first appearing in Charles Dickens' Pickwick Papers. And while we're on the subject of comestibles, you also have to eat one's heart out, meaning to suffer extreme grief, especially for something unattainable. And this expression, to eat one's heart out, predates English. It appears first in Homer's Iliad, which is around 850 BCE, before the Common Era. But I'm not going to eat anyone's heart or leg or loin. I'm not eating any birds. But if I ever do, which I won't, I'll eat my words. But I really won't. And words about animals is what Animology is all about. We will visit crows and deer again as we continue to uncover the history, the meanings, and the implications of animal-related words and expressions in our everyday language. Until then, may our words reflect our compassion, and may our compassion be reflected in our actions. On behalf of the animals, this is Colleen Patrick-Goudreau. Thanks for listening to Animology, changing the way we talk and think about animals.